Good morning. Happy Feast Day. A little delayed this year since the proper Feast of All Saints was on Monday, so we're almost a week late. But then it disappeared because the bishops played those funny games with holy days. All Saints Day is one of those days that isn't a holy day if it falls on a Monday or a Saturday. Yeah. But it's too important a day to miss because it's your feast day. Also mine. Unless you have aspirations to become one of those great few who gets canonized and gets a feast day of their own. As I think many of you know, I came close once. The parish council voted to have me canonized. Fortunately, the National Guard refused to lend them a cannon. And that's as close as I'm going to get. And you're probably not going to get a whole lot closer. I'm glad for the saints. We need them. They provide example. They provide inspiration. And if you read their real lives, they provide a lot of encouragement. I mean, there's a lot of sugar-coated lives to make them all look the same because they all look perfect. But if you know, study the saints, you find out that they were very human, each with their own strengths and weaknesses, their own idiosyncrasies, their own particular way of living the Christian life, and it provides an immense array of patterns to follow. There is no one path to sanctity. There is a universal call to sanctity, but no single path to get there. And knowing the saints is fun for those kinds of reasons. But the love of God is not limited to them. It's not limited to the great saintly or the high and mighty or the rich and powerful or the wise and wonderful. It's for all of us ordinary schnooks who do what we can, step by step, day by day. The love of God is broader than any canon or role of saints. Something that reaches out to all of us. To those who have gone before us, to those who were with us, to those who will come after us. That's why, as Paul says in that second reading, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Paul doesn't tell us not to grieve. It's natural to grieve. When you lose someone that you love, you grieve. Jesus did it. Why shouldn't we? But do not grieve as those who have no hope. Those who have no hope grieve for the deceased as though they've been obliterated. They are no more, and their memory shall fade, and they shall be gone. We know that we grieve for ourselves. We grieve for the loss that someone leaves in our lives, for the way we will miss them. We don't grieve for them, because we know that God's love reaches out to them. And that's why we have this feast. We used to, I think still technically in the calendar they do, have two feast days, All Saints Day and All Souls Day. But that was really sort of a theological overreach, a little bit of hubris, that we knew enough to determine who was already in heaven as opposed to those who were still in purgatory. I don't think we know enough to make that distinction. I'm not even sure it's a relevant distinction. If life after death, if resurrected life is being with God, and we know enough about modern physics to know that God is outside of space and time, then already and still, which are obviously time questions, may be totally irrelevant to resurrected life. So I don't think we can make that distinction. But all those who have gone before have gone through the process that the old timers used to call purgatory. I don't think it's a place. I don't think it's a time. But I think it's a perfectly natural process. Twice now in my last decade or two, I've torn out a quad. I had to have it surgically reattached. And then begins the fun game called physical therapy. All those muscles that have been laid up and gotten atrophied, they get back in shape. Well, the basic philosophy of my physical therapist Stretch the muscle until the screaming of the patient disturbs the people on the next floor. I think it's the same thing spiritually. You know, I'm basically good, loving, lovable, made in the image and likeness of God. But I'm also capable of, and have in fact done, rotten, selfish things that have messed life up for me and other people. You may be in the same boat, basically good, but, you know, tinged with selfishness. Well, every selfish thing we do, or unselfish thing we don't do, is another atrophy step in our loving muscle. And there's going to be a spiritual equivalent of physical therapy when God opens us up to infinite love. And that will be proportionately painful, depending on how badly we've allowed our loving muscles to atrophy. It will be enough to make us wish, gee, I wish I hadn't done that. You know? But it's a process. I don't think it has a time or a place, but it's a process. And then once we've been opened up, we respond to the fullness of God's love. We respond to the depth of God's being. What it will be like, John says, we have no idea. But we know this much. That we will be like God, for we will see God as God is. And that's true for all those who have gone before us. It will be true for us. It will be true for those who come after us. This is the communion of saints that we celebrate. That we're all in this together. That we pray to each other and for each other and with each other. And that's why we combine the two feasts, All Saints and All Souls. That's why we pick up the cultural touches of the Dia de los Muertos of our Mexican neighbors. We remember them as part of us. They were where we are. We will be where they are. Gathered together in God's house. And so we call their names in prayer. The names of the great saints that are in the officially recorded litanies. And the names of the ordinary saints that you and I remember will probably be remembered for a few more generations. And then we'll pass out of human memory, as will we. But none of us will pass out of God's memory. All of us are remembered by God. All of us are gathered to God. And ultimately, we will all be gathered around that table where we will share with God. So we ask you, as the litany begins, come up, light candles, go to the microphones and call off names. When you light the candles, please start at the candles in the back, farthest from you. People light the front candles first, then people reach over to light the back ones and catch their sleeves on fire. Be a little careful with that. We have an fire extinguisher or two here just in case, but we'd rather not use it. Besides, today we would rather celebrate the saints than add to their number. So come up, call off names, pray, light candles, remember. Remember that we are all in this together, that we are all loved by God, and ultimately the whole communion of saints will gather at God's table. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.